it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Buenos dias, chicas y chicos. Hello and welcome, a very warm welcome to the Joy of Paddle podcast, spreading and sharing the supreme delight of this wonderful and fast-growing game. I'm your host, Minter Dial, and this podcast is brought to you by Paddle 1969, the largest manufacturer of premium paddle courts, one court for life by Paddle 1969. The Joy of Paddle is part of the Evergreen Podcast Network. For more information about the network, go ahead and check out evergreenpodcast.com. So this is the inaugural season of the Joy of Paddle podcast. And to start with, we're going to do an episode once every fortnight. Episodes will drop every other Wednesday at 12 noon London time. Please let us know what you think about the show by putting up a rating and review. So this sixth episode of the Joy of Paddle podcast is with Shan Taferneberry. Shan's a fan of paddle, but he's also, as a Basque from France, he's also a major fan of rugby, like me. He's been an editor-in-chief at Paddle Magazine for over 4 years. He's also working as a copywriter at Paddle USA, whose founding partner is my pal, Sam Lufrani. Physical trainer of several paddle players, Chan unearths atypical posts and deals with topical subjects. Vamos with Chan. Chan Taferneberry. What a name, what a mouthful. Great to have you on my show. In your own words, Chan, who are you?
Well, very happy to be here on your show, Minter. Well, who I am, I'm as my name suggests, I'm a Basque man. I'm from the Basque country, from the French part, from a little village called Saint-Jean-Pied-de-Port, which is in the Pyrenees. I grew up there. I'm a sports enthusiast, I would say. I have always loved sports. I've always loved me because I have never managed to be very good in any sports. But I think I've loved playing a lot of different sports. I started playing basketball when I was a child. I also played, I'm going to talk about this later, but I also played what we called Basque Pelota, la Pelote Basque, which is a racket sports, ball sports that we play in that area. And also did a lot of things. I played rugby. I did some kickboxing. A lot of weightlifting also. I loved the fitness, and also played, and I'll still play a little bit of paddle.
That's silly game. I'm guessing you also like your good food down in that part of the country.
Yeah, of course. Good food, especially in my case, meat. But yeah, a lot of good food. From time to time, a lot of, not a lot, but a little bit of some good alcohols. We have in the Basque country, we have El Pacharán, which is quite famous. We also have in the south of France, Cognac, Armagnac, and some good red wine. So a lot of things to enjoy.
A lot of things in life to enjoy. So outside of the fact that you love rugby, as I do, I played 18 years, and this little game, El Juego del Paddle, your last name, hard to pronounce first name, my wife is Arrazola. And so we have a Basque connection as well. So, Chan, tell us about your trip, how you got into paddle. I mean, obviously, you were just talking about your Pelote Basque. Was that how you got eventually got taste of paddle? Where were you? How did this start?
Well, when I was a child, so being from the Basque country, I would sometimes, from time to time, go with my mom to San Sebastian, Irun, where we would go for shopping sometimes. And I would always see the little racket that's behind you, the little paddle racket. And I always liked that racket. I never had the chance to play until I was 27, I think. But I always liked that racket. And when we would drive on the road from where we lived to Irun, for example, we would see some paddle courts. And I thought it looked very good. So I played a bit of pelote basque. I also played with friends some squash. And also a little bit of tennis when I was very young. So I've never been very good at racket sports, but I always thought it was cool. And that paddle sports, that was me, for example, in tennis. What I liked was watching players doing some pretty volleys like Pete Sampras, like Pat Rafter.
Oh,
So
yeah.
all this was when I saw that the this little floor with all those little stuff, the fence and the net. I was thinking this looks very good, and the racket also, I loved it. And one day I was in Bordeaux, and it happens that one of my friends who I played rugby with was working for a brand. I don't know if I have the right to name
Yes,
that
you do, of
brand.
course. Yeah, go
Well,
for
the
it.
name is Head. So he was working with Head, and one day I went to his house for dinner, and when I arrived, I saw some paddle rackets, brand new paddle rackets on the table, and I said, "Wow, but that's the rackets I saw when I was a child and when I went to Spain." And he said, "Yeah, of course, it's paddle, it's the new sports, but at the moment it was probably in 2016, I think, or 2015. Almost nobody played paddle in Bordeaux, and we didn't really know it." And he said, "Well, tomorrow I'm playing a tournament in Bordeaux. If you want, you can come and see us play." So I went to see that game, and I thought it was very cool. And I was with other friends, and we said, "Well, let's try." So we found on Groupon
Oh, yeah.
some bargain, like you can play 1 hour and a half with the four rackets included and the balls for, I don't know how much it was, like 20 euros. And we said, "Wow, let's go." So we started playing one time. Then, of course, we started betting a little bit, like, "We beat you this time. Next time, we're gonna do the revenge and stuff." So we played once, twice, three times, and then I mean, I wanted to play every day. And I think that's the thing with paddle, is that once you start getting into it, you really become very fast a paddle addict.
No doubt about that. So you have to be, well, I mean, I'm going to guess, I'm going to anticipate you are the only person who came to paddle through Groupon. How about
Yeah,
that? That is
probably.
definitely a new claim to fame. And you came to it rather late at some level, since it's been around, but late in your life. And you still have come to a level 9 out of 10, which is a very decent rating, and you got to be top 100, albeit in a small country, but top 300, sorry, top 300, 300 in France. So congratulations for that. So now you've been playing for nearly 6 years, I guess. You've got this good level. What sort of style of a player do you consider yourself? I like to ask the question, what sort of animal are you? I mean, and I'm
Well,
thinking you're a strong one.
I'm 190 centimeters. I weigh
Wow.
I'm not gonna say how much, but above 100 kilos for sure. So naturally, I was kind of the guy who was not trying to construct the point or to spend a lot of time playing. I was much like a striker. So very soon I started playing on the left side. And then, yeah, at the beginning, I was always trying to win the point every time I would touch the ball. Well, then I realized that people were a little bit annoyed because they were not having so much fun because I was trying to do too much. So after this, I started taking some classes. and slowing the pace and trying not to use as much my strength, but more my brain. But what was difficult for me is because I never played world tennis. I played probably 1 year, but tennis is very difficult. You need a very good technique, a lot of patience. And when I was a child, patience was not my first quality. So tennis was really not, I never really enjoyed playing tennis. So yeah, I had to force myself to play slowly, to become more calm. And I think that in that aspect, padel even helped me in my life in general, because I had to force myself to become more patient.
I love that. And what sort of animal do you think of yourself as now? If you had to look at your game as you're playing this week or recently, how do you describe the style of play you've come into now?
Now I still have that tiger spirit that I want to bite the net every time, but I've become let's say an older tiger that is a little bit slow now, so who has to calm down a little bit
and wait for the right moment to catch their prey.
Wait for the right moment to bite. That's it. Exactly.
Love it. What's your favorite shot? You play on the left. You're obviously very tall, nearly 2 meters. What would you say is your favorite shot?
My favorite shot is the backhand volley.
Wow. Nice.
Yeah. Because I think that when you've never played tennis, you hold the racket at the beginning a little bit like a pan. You're not like that continental way of holding the racket. It's quite hard. And so with the way I had or I have to hold the racket, well, the backhand volley was the shot that was, since the beginning, the easier for me to perform. And now I've tried to change a bit my grip and to look a little bit more like a paddle player, less than a rugby player who is catching a paddle racket. But still, I still have the old habits have not left me. So still, the backhand volley is still my best shot. That's
your go-to shot. And what about the shot that you need to improve on the most?
Oh, the shot I need to improve the most would be the backhand indirect. Like when the players play on my backhand and I don't have the ball that is not gonna touch the walls, or I don't have the time to let it touch the walls, where I think that this is very difficult. Like, and it is why when you've been playing padel for 3 years and a good tennis player arrives and he's been playing for 10 days and he's already better, because all these shots, even though if at the beginning tennis players don't know how to play with the walls, well, they have so much talent, so much quality with all those shots, especially the backhand like this. For me, that's what is the most difficult. When you don't have really a good level in tennis, is playing all those balls that you're not in the volley, but you can't let them touch the wall.
Yeah, the ground strokes, we say.
Yeah, exactly.
The direct shots, the drives as well. It's amazing. You can just watch the pros where they sort of roll the wrist over. They're not hitting it hard, but they just, there's the timing. Just, it seems so natural. Yeah. Talking of pros, Shan, who are your favorite pros?
Well, actually, my favorite pro, well, it's quite easy right now since he's the number one in the World Padel Tour, is Arturo Cuello.
A lefty.
Yeah, a lefty. And when I started working at Padel Magazine, I went to Portugal, and I saw a tournament where Arturo Cuello was playing the pre-qualification, la pre-previa. He was playing with a player who's called Guga Vasquez, who was already around 40 by the time. And Arturo Cuello was maybe around 16, and it was crazy. Every time it was indoor, with the ceiling was quite low. So every time there would be a lob, Arturo Cuello would win the point with this match. It was crazy. And I even took a video and I sent him to my friend with who I would always play paddle in France. And I told him, look at that guy. He's 16 years old. Look how he plays. And he said, wow, it's crazy. And now he's number one in the world. So I don't know. I'm quite happy to see that young guy. He was 16, not talking a lot. His parents were always there to watch him play. And he was already very, very, very good. And then also like other young players like Javi Leal, who is very, very powerful, like the way he plays. Also like Yanguas. I think
Mike Yanguas.
Mike Yanguas, he's tall, but he plays on the right. I think all those young players have so much qualities and they are bringing the sports to the paddle to another level, really.
What about on the women's side?
Well, on the women's side, you'll think I only like lefties. Maybe I'm a little bit sad that I'm not a lefty, because when you're a lefty, everybody calls you to play, because
a lot of
right-handed players want to play on the left side.
Yeah.
So they are always happy to have a lefty with them. So on the girls, well, I really like Paula Jose Maria. I think she's not very tall, but she has the ability to be everywhere at the same moment. She has an incredible timing on the smash. So even though she's quite short, she's able to win a lot of points with her smash. So I think she's an amazing player. And as a journalist, well, I think that she's very kind to the journalist. She's always willing to talk. And that's also why I like her so much.
Let's talk about your magazine. Which you began also, I think, roughly 6 years ago. It's a wonderful magazine. It's available in six languages, Paddle Magazine, right?
Yeah.
Tell us how you came to start that. Because I didn't hear you saying I'm a journalist in my background.
Well, no, it's true. It's true. I didn't finish. We started talking about food. And then when we talk about food, I forgot everything.
All good. Food and drink on the paddle, yeah. On the joy of paddle. That's allowed.
Yeah, wow, that's it. That's also part of the paddle. A good game and then a good drink and a good dinner with friends is also part of the activity.
Amen.
What I'm doing right now at Paddle Magazine, so I'm an editor in chief with the boss of the website, which is Franck Binisty. Very famous in France. He was the first to launch Paddle Media around 10 years ago. Not so many people were playing paddle, so it was very bold, I think, to try this. And he contributed a lot to the development of paddle in France, of course. I started playing paddle with some friends, and then one of my best friends who also played rugby and was also from the Basque country, so he also played some pelote basque when he was younger. We were both a little bit injured, and during 6 months or something we were not playing rugby, and we said, oh, we missed all the competition, so we said let's start doing some paddle tournaments. So we started playing at a little level. Back then, there were not so much tournaments. So in the Southwest, we would move a bit, go from Pau to Toulouse, Bordeaux, and also Saint-Jean-de-Luz, Basque country, which was one of the first clubs in France. And that way I met Mr. Franck Binisty. And well, since paddle is always a very social activity, well, we started talking, and one day, well, I had done the same, like writing articles and things like this for a rugby website, a French rugby website. And so we started talking about just that work, doing articles, the website, and then he told me, well, you know, if you want, I need some people to write some articles. So if you want, we can start like this. So I started writing like two articles a day, then more, and now here I am.
And so what's interesting for me, Chan, is that you have it in six languages. It started in French, presumably. And then tell us how you've evolved to have it in six languages.
Well, evolved is not evolved that much. It's just that it's a Google translation like that.
So it's automatically translating. It's
automatically translated. Then we can sometimes. I also think that the translation is getting better and better with all those IA tools. But it's not that good. So sometimes we have to change ourselves. Like we can
edit
inside the version of an article in another language and change the things that really don't fit. So I would do it for the English and Spanish versions. Then for the other versions, it's a bit more complicated because
like Japanese,
yeah, we don't all speak that. Japanese, so yeah. Basically they have to find their way into the article to see what it really means. I don't know. I've never talked to a Japanese reader, but yeah, maybe that would be something interesting to see. How do they see the magazine? Because sometimes, yeah, with the English and the Spanish version, you have some big mistakes.
Yeah, for sure. So you're generally speaking, everything's in French. That's the main language.
We write only in French.
Right. All right. So let's just finish off, Dan, with just a couple of other questions. And one is, this is the joy of paddle. What is the funniest thing you've either seen, reported on, or played in yourself when it comes to paddle?
For myself, this is a bit rough for the guys we played against, but one day
Top P for them, right?
With my teammate who is called Vincent, we played a tournament. It was, I don't know, in France we have P2000, which is the best, then P1000, P500, it was probably 500. And we played against some guys who were some guys from tennis. They probably played better than we did, or in terms of technique, of course, far better. And they won the first set quite easily. The second set, we started like, we knew that they were better than we were, but we started playing like trying to annoy them a little bit. And then we found our way. They started screaming. They were not so happy. Then we found our way into the game and arrived at the tiebreak of the third set. And they had during the game, I don't know how many, but maybe 10 ball games. And every time we...
10 match points, match 10, points.
Yeah, 10 match points. And every time something would happen and we would win the point.
By the skin of your teeth.
What?
By the skin of your teeth, you know.
Fighting. We were letting our soul on the floor, and yeah. In the end, they missed all those match points, and we had one. And the first one, I had quite an easy smash that I missed completely.
Oh wow!
But I still touched the ball. And the ball did like a drop shot that
it goes up in the air with a big spin. Exactly. So you hit it off the top of the racket.
Biggest spin, and then it came back into our camp. So the guy couldn't even touch the ball. And it was awful because they had played 100 times better than we did. They had some match points and they missed all the time. And we had a lot of luck during the entire game. And even the our only match point was like the luckiest point I've ever seen. So we were so happy we had won, but we even felt sorry about these guys who were like feeling that everything was against us.
So but you made it. Well, love it. It reminds me of a match we saw not so long ago
with Delphi and Bea playing against Jose Maria, Paula, and Paula. They had four match points in a row, and then Paula shot one easy smash. Never going to miss it.
The smash into she would never wall. Miss. Exactly.
I mean, way out.
And I was thinking about, of course, it's not the same level at all, but I was feeling a little bit the same. Like, I was thinking, wow, those Paula Jose Maria and Ari Sanchez, well, they probably felt like those guys who were in front of us that day. Well, thankfully, nobody was watching that game, our game. Yeah, so nobody saw that they lost against...
That particular shot, but it happens at others, you know, even Paquito or whoever, they can miss the easiest of shots as well, which means they're human. And I always feel it makes us a little bit, you know, less worried about ourselves, you know, when we miss those shots.
Clearly. Sometimes you see, I saw last time something very funny. It's Paquito who's doing a serve. And the ball goes like very close to the wall of the backcourt. And he raises his hand and he says, but how is it possible? Like even Paquito doing a serve, which is a very easy shot in paddle, well, he misses completely. So yeah, sometimes you can say, okay, and you can tell that to your teammate. This is something you have to tell your teammate. Even Paquito misses, so I can miss.
And so can you, you know, your teammate occasionally. What I like to do is when there's an easy shot for my teammate, I say, con todo, go with it, just go for it. And I say, and I tell him before her, listen, this is licensed to screw it up as well, because when I want you to go for it and make the winner, you've got to be brave. And sometimes you're going to screw it up. Inshallah, this is what happens.
Yeah. If you don't try, you can't fail.
Hey, Shan, thanks for coming on The Joy of Paddle. Tell us, how can anybody go figure out, see your magazine, presumably in their language, but what's the website and any links you'd like people to come and follow you on?
Well, paddlemagazine.fr, if you want to see the original version, and when you arrive on the website, on the right, on the upper corner, well, you can select the language, you have all the languages. And then if you want to see my articles, well, you put a /tag/Shantafernabiri, which is my name, but it's not very likely that you end up seeing my articles, because if it's quite complicated to write my name.
Well, you know what I'll do is I'll have a little link in the website, which will make that easy.
Handy.
Yeah. Tafernaberry. Shan, thank you very much. Multimesca. Thank you. Gracias muchísimas. Vamos, Shan.
Muchas gracias.
So I hope you've enjoyed this Joy of Paddle episode. Please don't forget to subscribe to be the first in queue for the next episode. And if you like what you hear, please do share around with other paddle aficionados. This is a sport that deserves to be played by absolutely everyone. And if you've got a story that you'd like to share, please send me an email, or better yet, a voice note at nminterdial@gmail.com. With that, thanks for listening, and see you on the next episode of the Joy of Paddle podcast. Vamos!
Have you ever wanted to know how to win a Formula One Grand Prix? I mean, really know. Know about the driver tactics from the cockpit, the strategy calls from the pit wall, and even the mind games in the paddock. There's a lot more that goes into winning a Grand Prix than just 90 minutes of racing. So every week on the F1 Strategy Report, we're taking a deep dive into the decisions that shape every result. Hey there, my name is Michael Laminato, and every week I'm joined by an expert guest from the paddock to talk through the big calls that won the race and the missteps that resulted in bitter defeat. Before every race, we'll look back at the previous year's result and consult the current form guide, and we'll be in your feed after every Grand Prix dissecting the outcome and what it means for the championship. So for your regular hit of Formula One analysis, subscribe to the F1 Strategy Report wherever you get your favourite podcasts. The Strategy Report is a Beer Mogul podcast on the Evergreen Podcasts Network. My name's Michael Laminato, and I'll catch you after the checkered flag.